We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in Possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update with the stories, stats, headlines, and rumors people are talking about to get you caught up on all things regarding the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Rotating guests with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, presented by DraftKings, begins now.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome into this today's episode of KCSN Update. I am Tucker Franklin, joined by Matt Hamilton of FanDuel TV. We've got a lot to talk about with Matt Hamilton. Appreciate you hopping on and joining us, talking some Chiefs free agency, some NFL free agency. We're going to get to all of it. So, Matt, appreciate you hopping on with me.
Tucker, I always love coming on with you. Appreciate you having me.
We've got a lot of news to talk about. The legal tampering period. What's the PC term that they're using now? Free agent negotiation period?
Is that yeah, like the negotiating window, I think is how they do it. A negotiating period. Yep.
They had to change the name from legal tampering because I guess that I always thought that phrase was kind of funny.
Yeah.
In itself is just saying, hey, we're going to tamper, but we're going to make it legal at the same time. So the legal tampering window opened up on Monday. We're recording this on Tuesday. League New Year starts on Wednesday, so we're kind of in the middle of it. It's been about 24 hours since that window has been open. Matt, I want to get your first reactions from the early free agency window from the first 24 hours. What are your impressions of it?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing still is, you know, while we've had almost 100 signings happen, it's the one that the move that hasn't been made is the one that's still lingering out there, is what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and it could be resolved any minute now. But hearing, you know, one of the things that might be holding it up is the demands, list that he gave the Jets of players that he wants them to get between Lazard, Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, you know, bringing in all his buddies from Green Bay, might be the thing that he's waiting on is interesting. But yeah, we have seen a lot of action so far. Obviously, we'll get to the Chiefs side of it, which, you know, there have been a few surprises there. I think the Bears have been super aggressive, which wasn't unexpected with them having $90 million worth of cap space going in. And we've seen some teams take some hits here, too. I mean, the Eagles right now, they've lost three defensive starters. They have a bunch of other guys like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury, key guys that are still unsigned. And the Darius Slay news coming out there as well. It doesn't sound like he's going to be a part of the team that much longer. So they've taken some shots. And then the Cincinnati Bengals losing both of their starting safeties, obviously one of the Chiefs' key rivals. So, while we've seen some teams add, there are some teams that are taking some shots here too.
Absolutely. I think the development that I've been, I don't know if I would say surprised about, I think it was kind of anticipated, the wide receiver market being a little bit slower. I think the first wide receiver was signed on Tuesday to the Raiders. I can't, do you remember who was that?
Yeah, Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers, that's right.
And that was really the first move of significance in that receiver market. And it's funny you bring that up. We actually talked about it with Kay this morning on our show up in Adams. I think what we're seeing is teams, and I think the Chiefs were ahead of the curve here, and that was part of the thing with Tyreek, with dealing Tyreek. receivers we're having, we get such an influx of talent at the receiver position every draft now. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be if you had a 1,000-yard rookie receiver, it was a complete anomaly. Now, guys are coming in every year. You're having multiple 1,000-yard guys come in every single draft class. So I think, you know, it's not because the receiver position isn't important that it's becoming devalued. It's the supply and demand where we have so many really good ones now that those guys, and you look at this class, like there's not that elite top tier guy in this class. So those guys that are very good, but not great are the ones that are going to be impacted by it, I think, the most.
And I think the Chiefs are still in the market for a wide receiver, but as you mentioned, the draft class seems like they always have good wide receivers, no matter where you're drafted, no matter where you're picking. You can get a solid wide receiver. And we'll talk a little bit more about wide receivers, maybe some other rumors that the Chiefs are in on. But let's talk about the big move that the Chiefs made, because, Matt, as I was kind of talking to you, we were getting ready to go live for the Andrew Wiley update, right? Andrew Wiley goes to the Commanders, and you start looking at the Chiefs, and you're like, okay, their two tackles right now are Darian Kennard and Lucas Niang. Like, it's looking like that those are their two tackles right now. And very quickly after that news was announced at Andrew Wiley, which, shout out to Andrew Wiley. Glad he's getting the contract that he's getting to play with Eric Bieniemy over in Washington. I think that'll be good for him. The Chiefs made a deal with Jawan Taylor, and a young guy, athletic guy. We've seen some of the videos of him working out, circling social media. He's incredibly athletic. I believe it's a four-year, $80 million deal with $60 million guaranteed. Matt, what were your first initial impressions of that move?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things that stand out here. One, he's only 25 years old, so you're getting a guy that's still super young, just kind of hitting the prime of his career, had a fantastic season last year in Jacksonville, and he's a guy who has a ton of versatility, and I think that's the key here because he played right tackle in Jacksonville. He has the ability to play left tackle if you want to move him over there, and it would be a big savings. Obviously from the deal that Orlando Brown wants and is expected to get somewhere. But it also, it gives you that flexibility of, you know, obviously, as you just mentioned, Andrew Wiley's gone. You have to replace both tackles. It's not just Orlando Brown that you're replacing. So if you're able to get another left tackle, whether it's someone else in free agency, someone on the trade market, someone else in the draft, you can just keep Jawan Taylor at the right side and he's going to be phenomenal there. So, I think it's a great move for Brad Veach and company because of the versatility now this provides you. Not only an excellent player, but it gives you some more options here.
100%. And I think a lot of the sentiment, because as I told you, I mean, we were live when this was happening, when all this news was coming out. So we were given raw reactions to it. And it wasn't until afterwards when I got on social media and that I saw people upset about the money, like upset that he was getting 4 years for 80 mil. 60 guaranteed, while yeah, that does look like a lot, that's less than they were going to be paying Orlando Brown Jr. And it's probably the exact same contract they offered Orlando Brown Jr. that he turned down. So I'm curious to what your thoughts on the money are.
Yeah, so this was kind of expected going in. This is why, you know, there's a reason he's not back in Jacksonville, right? And it's not because he's not a good player. It was a money thing there. This was from everything I was hearing leading up to free agency, this was around the expected price tag. So I know while some Chiefs fans might not be as familiar with him and he's a right tackle and typically you don't pay right tackles as much, this was very much expected. He is a really well-regarded, one of the most well-regarded offensive linemen that there is around this league. This did not come as a surprise to me whatsoever.
Very good pass blocker. Does not allow very many pressures, which is very different from what the Chiefs had to face last year with both of their tackles allowing the first and second most pressures from tackles in the league. That is something that I'm sure will be music to Patrick Mahomes, everybody on that offensive line. But now you start to look at the offensive line, and what I think is kind of interesting when you look at kind of how the market has evolved, the interior market kind of hit a boom. Right. The Falcons paid one of their guards, I think, $100 million over 5 years or something like that. I believe Ben Powers went to Denver for a good sized deal. You start looking ahead to what the Chiefs have with Creed Humphrey, with Trey Smith, what they're going to have to pay for those guys to keep them around. That's going to be really interesting. And the interior defensive market also kind of took a big boom as well. And that's going to be big for Chris Jones, for Colin Saunders, for Derek Nnadi. So there's a lot of market resets that happened, I think, in this free agent period early on.
Yeah, definitely. And you're seeing, you know, typically, you're right, you pay the tackles, you pay the edge rushers, but we're seeing, you know, the emphasis on interior play around the league. Yeah. You're seeing so many more disruptive guys. And Javon Hargrave, obviously, you know, got that huge contract from the Niners. I mean, another, not to, you know, digress too much, but that Niners defensive line is going to be an absolute monster to have to deal with next year. But yeah, you're seeing you have those disruptors on the inside. So those interior offensive linemen are becoming more and more valuable as well.
Let's talk about Juwan Taylor again real quick, because, you know, he was a right tackle. He played left tackle, I believe. Matt Lane looked it up and he said he played left tackle for a few games his sophomore year in Florida. So he is incredibly athletic. Sure, I'm sure he played left tackle in high school just because of how athletic he is and just the way high school football works and stuff like that. But do you think that moving him to left tackle is the right move for the Chiefs? I know he's got a lot of NFL experience at the right side, but do you think moving him to the left is the right move?
I mean, I think ideally he's had so much success at right. In an ideal world, you want to keep him on the right side. But again, I think he does have the athleticism, the versatility. He has played on the left side before. You know, one of the big reasons he didn't at Florida, they had, you know, five-star all-world left tackle prospect Martez Ivey that they tried to bring along, had a soccer. So, you know, it's not for a lack of being able to play there. It's kind of just how the roster was constructed at Florida. And then in the NFL, you know, the Jags had Cam Robinson on the left side. So continued play on that right side. So I don't think it's a lack of ability. I think he'd make the transition fine. But I think, you know, obviously he's had so much success where he is, you want to keep him there in an ideal world. But yeah, I don't think it'll be an issue for him to move over to that left side.
Well, there's been a lot of thoughts too. There have been some people in Chiefs Kingdom latch on to Orlando Brown, Andrew Wiley, and their ability to get it done in the big games, right? But I think what people, maybe not, if you're just looking at the PFF grades, if you're looking at the numbers and the sacks allowed, I think is something that people have looked at too, where Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley rank higher than where Juwan Taylor would come in. How do you see his fit with this offensive line with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes? When you talk about sacks, right, there's a lot that goes into it differently. You know, Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks at evading pressure and getting out of sacks. How do you think he kind of fits in with this offensive line in Kansas City?
I think he fits in very well. And Orlando Brown's a guy, also should mention, remember, he was playing on the right side in Baltimore for That's a while true. Too. And he had to switch. And we saw, you know, that worked out pretty well. But yeah, I mean, he's obviously a different type of player, bigger, stronger guy, you know, can dominate in the run game. But you saw him have issues at times with guys that are a little quicker, more athletic. He's not as fleet of foot as Juwan Taylor. So I do think it is an upgrade from an athleticism standpoint as far as pass protection, having Juwan Taylor in there. And as you said, with Mahomes, his ability to step up, it takes a little getting used to, I think, for some offensive linemen having a quarterback like that, because, you know, it changes how you block a little bit when you have a guy. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, as we know, is mobile as well, but they're a little bit of a different style. Mahomes and all the freelancing he does, you know, you have to account for that a little bit as an offensive lineman. So it does impact you a little bit. And, you know, he's got to build chemistry with the guys around it, but I think he'll fit in just fine.
Just before the Chiefs made this trade for Juwan, or not the trade, made the signing for Juwan Taylor. I think I tipped my hand there a little bit there, Matt. Chiefs were linked to a trade, with the Houston Texans for Laremy Tunsil. Aaron Wilson went on, I believe it was a TV station in Houston, and was talking about how the Chiefs are, even despite the signing, are still linked to Laremy Tunsil. And what are your kind of thoughts on these rumors for Tunsil? When you look at his contract, makes sense for the Texans to move on from him.
Yeah, and that's the thing on the Chiefs side, you got to figure out that, you know, that's what makes it complicated, is he does have that high price tag.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if they somehow find a way to land him and Juwan Taylor and make their offensive line, you know,
Yeah.
I think the big worry from Chiefs Kingdom this offseason is, you know, was you knew you probably weren't getting Orlando Brown back. How on earth are you going to replace this guy? This is, you know, this is a huge hole. You got to keep Mahomes healthy. If they're able to come out of this making the offensive line even better than it was, yeah, just put Brett Veach in the, just start making the bronze bust of Brett Veach right now, because it would be just an absolute masterclass. And yeah, and it seems like it is a real possibility. And again, I think that's why you target a Juwan Taylor, because he just gives you that flexibility. If you aren't able to make the Tunsil deal happen, you don't have to panic, because you can just slide him over and figure out the right tackle spot.
Here's my little 10-foot hat conspiracy here. You look at the contract that Juwan Taylor signed, the first year cap hit is like $1.08 million. The year one cap hit, very low in terms of the $60 million guaranteed, $80 million over four. That first-year cap hit is pretty low, which could lend for a good year or two to have some restructuring in a Tunsil deal. Or even, I know it's been thrown out there, a Chris Jones extension and restructure could be beneficial for the Chiefs as well. So, it's definitely a possibility. I think that they've set it up to the door is not closed on Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, and we've seen these teams manipulate the cap in so many different ways over the years. You can find ways to make pretty much anybody fit on your roster.
Just ask the Saints. Now they're dealing with all the things that they've had to kick down. Okay. All right, Matt, let's talk about some other positions on the offensive line. But first, I want to throw to a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Folks, I got to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is Athletic Greens. I've been taking AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day, and I gave it a try because I wanted to get that better gut health. I wanted to have the sustained energy. You got to support the immune system, especially this time of the year. And I hated taking all those pills and vitamins to actually get all those supplements, and it tastes great as well. I take it in the morning before I start my day, before I make that cup of coffee, and it makes me feel ready to take on everything that we've got going on here at KCSN. And you know, all great athletes take care of their body. I'm not the same kind of athlete as Patrick Mahomes, but I still like to take care of my body. And that's when I've been going to AG1. That's why I'm a huge fan. You get all that nutrition in just one little cup. It's great for long-term gut health support as well, with just 75 high-quality ingredients that give me key daily nutrients. If a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplemental routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/KCSN. That's athleticgreens.com/KCSN. Check it out.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into KCS and Update. I'm hanging out with Matt Hamilton here talking NFL free agency. Got a lot going on with the Chiefs. Some other rumors going on, some going around. We talked about Laremy Tunsil. Now let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins, because this was a one that was very early. That was very early, pretty much like after the Super Bowl got done. It's like, all right, the Chiefs are in on DeAndre Hopkins. Very quick.
Whoa. Sorry. We just got some big news coming across. The Giants are training for Darren Waller.
Oh, wow. That's big. In the day. No, that's good. I love it when we're recording and news happens, because we're already on it. And Darren Waller leaving the AFC West. Interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo has one less weapon after they signed Jacoby Myers. Could be interesting for the Raiders moving forward. I think I've heard them describe Jimmy G as a stopgap for them, because I think that, you know, the quarterback market will be pretty good here, and obviously this year and the year after as well. Caleb Williams being one of those quarterbacks that teams will be vying after for that number one pick. So very interesting what the Raiders are doing out there in Vegas.
Yeah, definitely. And we know the Giants, Brian Daboll loves to make use of his tight ends, and that was a big staple of their offense. And obviously they didn't have anybody, you know, there aren't many guys that are of Darren Waller's caliber, and they certainly didn't have any of them. So that's a big weapon. I think, you know, without a ton of, you know, you don't really see that big number one wide receiver available in that free agent class, in this free agent class, or, you know, outside of Hopkins really on this trade market. So being able to land a guy like that who, you know, can essentially be a number one option when he stays healthy in it for a passing game, I think that's a big win for the Giants too.
Looks like they're giving up the Kadarius Toney pick. Pick 100 in the draft. So
it all comes full circle.
It does all come full circle. So the Chiefs really helping out the Giants there in that situation. Wow, that's interesting. That's a good one. So that kind of takes me to the next point I want to talk about. And we talked about Tunsil in a trade, and we're going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, but I want to talk about Tunsil first on the trade value. Like, what do you think it will take to get Tunsil to Kansas City?
That's a good question, and whenever you have guys with those big contracts, it seems, you know, it all depends who's taking the brunt of the hit from a money perspective. You know, I don't think, I'd be surprised if the Chiefs would have to give up a first-round pick for him. I think probably in the range of a second, third, it depends kind of how the money shakes out, who's taking the brunt of that money. But, you know, if you're worried about the Chiefs giving up a first-round pick, I don't think that'll happen given, you know, where he is in his career and that contract.
Do you think that either DeAndre Hopkins or Laremy Tunsil, I know you just said that you don't think it'll be a first-round pick, but I know a lot of people have said they don't think DeAndre Hopkins will be a first-round pick. The Cardinals have actually publicly said that they're looking for a second-round pick for him. Do you think the Chiefs are okay hanging on to the first-round pick and try to get either of these guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Tunsil is the one, to me, that I would prioritize there. I think, you know, that really... that makes that offensive line maybe the best offensive line in the league, you know, or right up there with the Eagles. So that's what I prioritize with DeAndre. You know, there's a lot that comes with DeAndre too, in the way that this offense is. We see how, you know, especially last year, how that ball was spread around and how much more dangerous that made this offense. There wasn't that pressure on Mahomes to feed one guy. You get a DeAndre Hopkins, and we've kind of seen it. Like, he wants to be fed the ball. He wants to be that number one. And again, while he's an incredibly talented player, you know, they just got out of a situation where they're paying a guy big money that commands, you know, that's going to command the ball like that. So I don't know if it is necessarily the best. And obviously, they'll be able, him and Mahomes would put on a show and it'd be exciting to watch. But I think, you know, invest the money in the left tackle. And I think there are a lot of other options on this receiver market, including bringing Juju back, that make this group really talented, really diverse. And you know, you just won a Super Bowl doing it that way. I don't think you have to go crazy and bring in a DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, that's another thing I want to talk about, is the Chiefs wide receiver room is a bit thin right now, and you're starting to looking at, you got MVS, Sky Moore, and Kadarius Toney on the roster as of now. That's you're gonna need a little bit more than three wide receivers. The Chiefs tried to play without three wide receivers. They tried it a few times, especially when they did that 13 personnel. But they are going to need a little bit more than those guys. We talked about Juju. Another guy that's been thrown around is Adam Thielen, a guy that can come in a possession wide receiver that I think could be good for the team. But what are your thoughts on Thielen and maybe the money that he's trying to command in this wide receiver market?
Yeah, I think Thielen would be a good fit. I think at this stage of his career, he's not going to break the bank either. Right. There are a lot of while there isn't that real like number one guy like we were talking about in this receiver class, there is a lot of depth there. You've got guys like a DJ Chark too. You know, he's had his issues with injuries, but he's incredibly talented, and I think you can get him at a relative bargain. Even a Darius Slayton, who had a really nice year for the Giants last year. Again, I don't think, you know, the Chiefs aren't in need of that top tier guy, I don't think, with what they have, and especially with Travis Kelce on this roster. But there are a lot of other options that I think are attractive here. And yeah, Thielen's a good one. He's still very productive. As I said, you know, at his age, I don't think he's going to command a super high price tag. He probably wants to go somewhere where he has a shot at winning a ring too, which will play in the Chiefs' favor. So, you know, I think the best option that I see out there, I think getting Juju back in the mix. I thought, you know, you saw him developing more and more chemistry with Mahomes as the year went on. I would love to see him back. But there are a lot of good options out there. And then, of course, you know, there is always the draft, as we talked about as well. Yep. There are always so many good receivers in these drafts. So, yeah, the Chiefs will have their options for sure.
According to SpotTrack, Juju Smith-Schuster's estimated market value is about $14.6 million a year, looking like a four-year $58 million, 58.6 is what it has here. Deal would be likely in that range for Juju Smith-Schuster. Don't know if the Chiefs want to pay or invest that much. You have to see that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, as we talked about. It's going to be interesting to see how this market shifts because, you know, I think Jacoby Myers was looked at as a more attractive target for these teams than Juju, and he got $11 million a year. Right. So I think that's why we're not seeing the movement right now, is the expectation is for some of these guys to be in that $14 million range, and I don't think these teams are shelling it out. As I said, I think the Chiefs are a little bit ahead of the curve, and I think other teams are kind of catching up as far as these receiver price tags. So he might have to recalibrate his expectations, and they may be able to get him at more of a bargain than that. Cause you're right. It is a pretty steep price tag for Juju, and you know what you're getting out of him, as much, you know, as much as I think he's a good fit and you know, he had an excellent year. That's a hefty price tag.
It is for sure. And when you're looking at the wide receivers else on the market, I was trying to pull up the list here. Jacoby Myers deal I thought was really interesting. I saw the numbers on it, 3 years for $33 million. It's basically a year-to-year deal, too. It's not like there's any guarantees, or I think the Raiders have an out almost every year for that. So it's really interesting to see how the market has shifted in the free agency from wide receiver from just last year when you had, you know, Christian Kirk getting buku bucks, and to now it seems like wide receivers are struggling to get money.
Yeah, and that's the, I think Jacoby as a free agent is probably, I don't know, I'd say maybe he was even a little higher regarded than Christian Kirk was last year. And yeah, to see that difference in contract, I think it speaks to what we were talking about earlier. And especially because, again, I think a lot of people looked at him as maybe the top guy available in this free agent class. So, it makes things interesting. And, I don't know. We'll see what happens. There's also, of course, always the possibility of Odell. He's floating around out there. He's ready to be signed. And I don't know, again, what his expectations are contract-wise. But, you know, and he does already have his ring. So I guess it's all going to be about what he's prioritizing, what he's focusing on going forward. We know there was a flirtation there a little bit, at least, with the Chiefs last season. You got to think, I mean, if I'm him, the possibility of playing with Mahomes has to look pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I think I saw a report that he's looking for maybe a little bit more money than he'll probably get. You gotta evaluate yourself like that. But looking at the wide receiver market, Adam Thielen, I believe he's going by Chosen Anderson now.
Yeah,
Nelson Aguilar, DJ Chark, Randall Cobb, which one of the guys that Aaron Rodgers wanted with him, and New York, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones. So there's some guys out there that Alan Lazard has a bidding war for him right now between two teams, which one team was not disclosed, I don't think. The Jets were working for him, and the other team was not disclosed. I know that MVS had been recruiting Alan Lazard, so that would be an interesting move for the Chiefs. So, Matt, before we wrap up the wide receiver position and really kind of the Chiefs side of things, do you think the Chiefs will sign a wide receiver before the end of free agency?
I think so. I think they add somebody. There's a, as you know, as you went through that list of names, there's a lot of depth there. Even a Matt Collins, who had an excellent year for the Raiders, is sitting out there. And, you know, he's a big-bodied guy who I think would fit well in this offense. So there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of depth. I definitely think they add somebody. And it's such an attractive place to play if you're a receiver. So I think we definitely see them add at least one more guy there and maybe target another in the draft. I know they have a lot of youth at that position right now with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, but
yeah,
you know, always add another too.
I'm intrigued by DJ Chark, only 26 years old. That could be a good offensive signing there for them.
And really, with him, it's been all about the injuries with him so far. When he was on the field for the Lions, he totally changed that offense. When the Lions went at that run at the end of the season, it was right when he came back. You know, he's a guy that can really take the top off of defense. You know, tremendous speed threat. He's had a 1,000-yard season before as well when he was with the Jaguars. So,
right.
You know, that's really been the only thing that's really, you know, put a damper on his career is the injuries he's had to deal with. When he's been out there, he's been very effective.
The Chiefs are dealing with a couple of defensive free agents as well on the interior. Colin Saunders, Derek Nnadi. As I mentioned, we did see that interior market climb up a little bit higher than I think a lot of us anticipated. Thoughts and see if do you think the Chiefs will bring back those guys or you know, it's never really a good interior defensive line class in the draft, right? There's never you never have a great class, right? Curious to see how you think the Chiefs kind of address that position.
Yeah, because all those guys, you know, when you do have those special guys, they tend to go, you know, up towards the top of the draft. I'm sure they'll make an effort to bring them back. I mean, you know, Saunders made, you know, I think progressed pretty significantly this past year, important part of that defense. So I think they work to try to bring him back. Obviously, you know, they're in a tough spot. You know, when you have a good roster and you're keeping it together and you're paying all these guys, you're going to have to make sacrifices at some places, you know, as you go. But, you know, I'd be shocked if they didn't try to bring Saunders back. I mean, again, there's always guys you can get as replacements that are cheaper options. You can look to the draft, but I think with what Saunders did last year, you'd love to have him back.
Chiefs did bring back Tershawn Warden, who was hurt last year, got him on the deal. He was a restricted free agent, I believe. They placed the restricted free agent tender on Tommy Townsend. They came to a new deal with Tershawn Warden. So, Matt, I got a few more questions for you. These are more league-wide. We're gonna zoom out a little bit. I want to know what your most surprising move of free agency so far is.
That's a good one. Hold on. Trying to think. I think so far, seeing the Bears pay big money for Tremaine Edmonds, you know, after losing out on Roquan, I wasn't sure if they would, you know. Obviously, I think one thing a lot of people have missed when they're talking about this online is, you know, Roquan did request a trade. He kind of said he didn't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they were like, oh, we let Roquan go just to sign Tremaine. But again, investing big money, you know, on a linebacker when we've seen, if you saw a lot of the other linebackers, you know, they even got TJ Edwards from the Eagles at a relative bargain.
Yeah.
You know, Levante David was out there. Bobby Wagner's out there. This is a great linebacker class in free agency. So I think paying him the money that they paid him, I was a little surprised to see the price tag. He's a very good player, but was a little surprised to see that. And I guess, you know, I think the other big surprise to me right now is that Orlando Brown hasn't been scooped up somewhere. I think, you know, I guess sometimes when you are the big, I think he's going to get the biggest contract probably in this class. And sometimes with that, it gets a little more complicated. And I'm sure he's very sought after and is exploring his options, which might have something to do with that too. But I would expect him to come off the board pretty quickly here. And I think I'd put the Bears as the favorites there with they still have $50 million in cap space, more cap space than anybody. And they need to protect Justin Fields desperately. So I'd put them as the favorites to make that move as well.
Ryan Poles has been wheeling and dealing in this month of March here. Shout out to him.
Yeah, he's doing a fantastic job. And, you know, more of that Chiefs Brett Veach pedigree. I've been really impressed with what he's doing. Again, you can quibble about the, you know, I can bring up the price tag with Tremaine Edmonds, but still, he's upgraded this roster tremendously. And again, when you have $90 million to pay with, you can to play with, you can afford to overpay a guy a little bit.
Absolutely. I think the Bears makes all the sense in the world for Orlando Brown. It just seems like it makes a lot of sense for him, not only for him, but for the team as well, as they're trying to kind of retool what they got for Justin Fields. Matt, second to last question here. Are the Chiefs done in free agency?
I don't think so. I think we're going to see some depth moves. As we've talked about, there's still a few little areas in this roster that they could strengthen a little bit. So I don't think we see a big splash by any means, but I think you'll see some veteran additions as they go along here. Again, it's a super attractive destination. If you're one of these older veterans that's looking to get a ring, I mean, there's probably no better spot.
Yeah. Love to hear it, music to our ears. And lastly, what's your bold prediction for the rest of free agency? Who do you see going where? What do you want to see happen in the NFL during this window?
Bold predict. I think we see DeAndre Hopkins go to the Ravens. I think they at some point finally figure things out with Lamar, and they go get DeAndre Hopkins to try to make him happy. They've been lacking that number one receiver for so long. They need to do it. I think we see that happen. I think we, another bold prediction, Aaron Rodgers actually makes a decision at some point. and we can all move on with our lives. So I know I'm taking a risk there.
I remember he said at the beginning, it was in January, that he didn't want to hold the Packers hostage. It's exactly what he's doing right now. So love to see that. And you know, Raiders are another one of those teams that he was talking about going to. It's probably Jets or Packers at this point, I would assume.
Honestly, at this point, I don't even think, based on what Mark Murphy was saying and what we've heard, I don't even think the Packers are an option at this point. I think it's either the Jets or
he retired.
We see him walk away. Yeah, because I haven't heard anybody else. I was thinking maybe in some world the Niners could enter the equation there, but I think the Hargrave contract kind of put an end to that. And I think they pretty clearly, the plan of attack there for San Francisco is we're going to build around our quarterbacks that are on rookie contracts and we don't have to pay, and we're just going to load up the rest of the roster, which is a pretty good plan. And I don't know, if Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt, it might have counted into the Super Bowl last year.
True.
It's a pretty sound plan, but that was the one destination because obviously, you know, that's his childhood team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you know, they have a little bit of a potential need there. That was the one other place that I thought might get opened up as a possibility, but obviously that's kind of gone by the wayside now. So it's really Jets or bust.
And time is a flat circle. A Packers quarterback who's thinking about retirement going to the Jets. It has to happen. Time is a flat circle. Matt, I appreciate you joining me talking some NFL free agency. We'll make sure to have you on hopefully again before the draft, so we can talk a little bit of NFL drafts as well, with the Chiefs plan on doing with that pick number 31, because, listen, that signing made it a little bit more cloudy of what the Chiefs are going to pick at 31. Yeah. So I'm sure Brett Veach really enjoys that.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Appreciate you having me on, Tucker. Always love joining you.
That's going to do it for today's episode of KCS and Update. Thank you for listening to us all the way to the end of today's episode. And we will be back another time with more news and more updates as things happen in NFL free agency. We'll be right here with you. So make sure you subscribe, you like the video, you follow us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this show on, and also follow us on social media at KC Sports Network. We will keep you up to date there as well. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.